Blog Talk Radio.
Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is Tuesday, as we always do it every Tuesday here, the 28th of February 2017, and we're broadcasting live from the DFW Metroplex of the great state of Texas, as well as, we're just right from Texas. Okay, I'm your host, Mike Henderson. With me is my lovely co-host, Crystal Senegal. How you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, wake up, girl. Okay. Only one of us is drinking tonight, and that'd be me. And I got a reason to drink, but I'll bring that up just a little bit later. Okay. But tonight, fans for the alcohol, do Black Lives Matter now? Okay. Now, it's been 5 years since Trayvon Martin's death, the tragedy that sparked the Black Lives Matter movement. But has the situation changed much? Did the call for justice go unheard? Or has the turn of recent events placed Black Americans at the forefront of the need for reform? We're going to get into the meat of the subject just a few minutes ago, but I got a couple of things I want to discuss before we get into that as well, though. And number one is what's really important more than anything else overall, and that is Friday. And guess what happened? Guess what's happening Friday, Crystal?
What's happening Friday, Michael?
It's my birthday.
Okay.
It is my birthday. That's right. I will be celebrating 53 years of life as a Friday.
So you're gonna be celebrating your third anniversary of your 50th year.
My third anniversary of my 50th year. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. So that puts a unique perspective on things now. All of a sudden, on like that, like it almost sounds like three millennials. Like that sounds almost like if you really look at it though, like you said, your third anniversary of your 50th year.
Mm-hmm.
If you really didn't count, it sounds like I'm 150 years old. And like. No, I'm not quite 150 years old. People think I look good for a guy that's in his 50s. Nobody really believes I'm 50, though. They, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah, I think I would look damn good for a guy that's in his 50s for real, though. Like, for real good. I mean, there are not too many 50-year-olds out there that can say they don't have gray hair, no wrinkles, no real medical problems. They're fit. They're they haven't lost it and choked somebody today. But then again, I guess everybody can do that. Because I came real close today, but no. Think about it. I could go crazy, at 50. I can lose it if I wanted to. I don't want to, but I'm not going to. I could just lose my mind if I wanted to, though. But I think I'm doing good for 50, though. But I never really understood, though, like when, right after I turned 50, everybody's saying you look good for 50. What's 50 supposed to look like?
Some people make it to 50, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, to me, 50 is the new 40. I mean, I don't feel like I'm breaking down. As soon as I even turned over that first year of 50, I didn't feel much different than 40. It didn't feel that much different from 49. And I, because everybody's saying like, "Oh, you're 50 years old. You know, you like I should be in a wheelchair right about now. You know, I should be walking with a cane." I should hope for something else. I don't know what the deal is. I honestly don't know. What's that supposed to mean? How is that supposed to be as well? How am I supposed to feel at 50? I don't get it, though. But I am 50. I'm about to be 53. So 3 years into the game, I feel like, and also, like, when it comes to the idea of being in shape, though, I feel like I'm in better shape now than I was in my 30s.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly, though. So it is about the idea of how you feel and how you treat yourself as well. Now, being an empty nester, because my kids are gone and it's just basically me, I'm actually having fun with that, though. So I'm doing good in that respect, though. I think I am. I think I'm doing damn good in that respect. So I don't really worry about that so much as far as, like, being older, though. What I do, I don't worry about, like, you know, a whole lot of medical conditions like that. Maybe I'm just a lucky one as well. But I know some people that were considerably younger than I am, though, and they have, you know, certain medical and health issues and all that stuff, too. I was never one of them. So I don't worry about that. I'm glad to be 50. I'm glad to, you know, to have a full head of hair, you know, most of my teeth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and still relatively sane. But anyway, so how you been doing, dear?
I've been doing pretty well. I know. I've been doing okay. Everything is good. Everything is looking up. Today, actually, is the 28th of February. It is the 7th year anniversary of the passing of my father. So I can be a little somber sometimes, you know, 7 years. But, you know,
it happens.
He's still watching down over us. And
his baby girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all good.
Okay. All right.
It's life. I don't mean to bring you down.
Yeah.
Celebrating your birthday.
No. You're good. Now, you know, we cool. We're good in that respect, though. Because I recently had a loss as well, and my stepfather had passed away. And it was hard to deal with, though, because there was a fair amount of family drama that kind of went along with that as well, and I hated it because it kind of marred everything, though. And I wish more people would, you know, stop, you know, they took the focus on what we were there for and put it on themselves, and that caused more problems than anything else, in my view. It caused way more problems than anything else. And that's not what the focal point needed to be. The focal point needed to be on cherishing his memory, not destroying it by bringing all this drama and this chaos and this craziness off in the middle of it as well, though. But it happens. And unfortunately, it happens more often than not. And I kind of wish people would just really take a backseat to that and stop pushing that madness on people as well. It is just crazy as well. And moving on, I don't want to dwell on that too much, though, because we will bring the show down for me. I don't want to do that as well, though. I will actually bring this up as well, though. And I hate to drag politics so early off into this as well, though. But I caught a glimpse of Trump's address to Congress, to the joint session of Congress. Yeah, I know.
I have no idea.
I just caught a little bit, though, because I just wanted to try to get a feel of what was going on, though. And to me, it was less about the idea of really trying to do anything and more playing to the crowd. And even though, like, matter of fact, this afternoon I was kind of like in a restaurant. And you could tell there were some Trump supporters there because the discussion across the bar was about liberals and all this stuff, too. And I know people, you know, want to support him with everything they have, though. And there's some individuals just happy as hell that he's in office because they figure it's going to be real change and real reform and real things that will benefit the American people. Problem is, and I still say this, though, the problem is he was reading from a teleprompter. Because we definitely know, though, when he's actually off teleprompter, though, it's a totally different ball game. And I guess it's another one of those attempts to try to rein him in. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I just kind of left it at that. I just pretty much left it at that. I truly left alone because I was like, okay, this is going to be it for it. This is how it's going to be. We got a feel of exactly how it's going to be, like the first few weeks him in office. So it's going to be one chaotic moment after another. Everybody's going to be rushing to pop up to try to figure out what's going on, and nobody's going to know what the hell is happening. Nobody. So it's more like, and then you got like half of the Republicans having buyer's remorse because of this man and stuff. But you voted it in. And now you want to try to find some crazy way to try to rein it in some way, though. Good luck. And trying his best to look good in front of everybody, thinking that everybody's supposed to love him. No, that's not what happened. Not everybody likes you. And I'm going to be honest, and I've told people this as well, but I didn't like him when he was on The Apprentice. What makes you think I'm even going to even remotely have anything to do with that, though, now that he's in office? The one thing I will say this, since you're in now, you need to do something other than worry about what the media is talking about. And if you're going to be shrouded in secrecy because you think nobody's going to know, you're in for a rude awakening. Everybody's going to know because somebody's going to let some stuff leak. And before you know it, you're going to be all over it. So grow up and be a leader and not one on paper. Grow up and be a leader. That, if I had anything to say to President Trump, it would be simply that. Grow up and be a leader. Stop expecting everybody to kiss your ass. Grow up and be a leader.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to get into our topic right now. Now, it has been 5 years since Trayvon Martin's death. And now that, and we had a whole lot of chaotic things that happened last year, especially during the portion of the election as well, though, to where people, were concerned, people concerned about, where we kind of fall in the middle of that as well, though. There are people that actually said that Black Lives Matter was a terrorist group. They were after the police. They were trying to cause chaos and confusion as well, though. And even I've gone toe to toe with individuals in that vein to try to set them straight because they believe that Black Lives Matter is all about demonizing the police. It's all about causing disruption, and it's this monster hate group that hates white people because of the actions of a few police officers who happen to be white. Hasn't done much in the way for reform, for the simple fact is, we're wondering if, or at least I'm wondering if the climate has changed from last year to now. But let's think about it, though. Last year was literally riddled with police shootings. Alton Sterling, Fernando Castile, Walter Scott. It went crazy though, and even like some of the more horrendous ones that made absolutely no sense whatsoever, like Tamir Rice, which I still can't get over even to this day, how anybody, and especially any police officer that has been on the job for more than a year, could in any way, shape, form, or fashion justify that kid's death. Now, when it comes to Trayvon Martin's case, people ask me, and I pretty much told them, what I thought about that situation, though. And I told them flat out, two people made some not very good decisions that night. Two people. But it's also based upon the circumstances as well. Number one, when George Zimmerman, the community watchdog, I guess you could call him, watch guy, who shot Trayvon, was told by the police dispatcher to not engage him, and he did it anyway. Well, mistake number one. Mistake number two, if Trayvon put his hands on him in any way, shape, form, or fashion, that was mistake number two. So once again, two people made mistakes that night. But also with that, though, it's this ongoing, all-encompassing fear that people have that anybody that looks different from them or looks at or that closely resembles a particular stereotype or trope is a threat. That's the problem. Okay? And then you're thinking because and then also with the support from the community with Trayvon, because think about it, like, it wasn't just people in that neighborhood in Florida that actually supported that as well, though. People nationwide supported it, though. They wore hoods. They made memes. They marched in the protests as well, though. And that automatically vilified them to everybody else, thinking that they're supporting thug like Trayvon. And it's kind of weird. And I'm going to say this in all honesty. It's really kind of weird, though, that if a white kid holds a gun, he's a hunter. If a black kid holds a gun, he's a thug. But yet still, though, there have been more shootings by white young men. From the mass shootings as well than black ones. Okay. Now, not taking away from what they call black on black crime at all. I'm not talking about like gang warfare. I'm talking about flat out shootings. Because let's face it, Dylan Roof, the shooting that he pulled in Charleston, South Carolina, the one he's actually been sentenced to death behind, baby, he did that on purpose. But they want to say he was a disturbed young man. He was he had this, he had that. Though no, he wasn't. He had the same problem that Micah X Johnson had here in Dallas with the shooting that went down here in Dallas that killed four police officers. Though. These are two individuals right here. And even Michael Johnson even said that he was not connected with Black Lives Matter, the NAACP, or any other group at all. He acted on his own. But there are people to this day that swear up and down on a stack of Bible that he was all for Black Lives Matter, even though he said it himself in a videotape that was actually out there on the airwaves right after the shooting. He actually put it out there before the shooting, if I'm not mistaken. Because I saw the tape as well, though, in its entirety, though, and he said it repeatedly. He was not in any way, shape, form, or fashion associated with Black Lives Matter. He didn't want to be associated with well because he felt like they weren't doing anything. That was after Alton Sterling. That was after Philando Castile. He finally had enough of it. There was one more. He finally had enough of it, and he decided to take matters in his own hands. The same thing that Dylan Roof did in Charleston. Dylan Roof's problem was the idea that the white supremacy groups, KKK, the Aryan Nation, the skinheads, weren't doing enough when it came to the idea of actually getting rid of all the black people. They weren't doing anything to help preserve the white race. So he decided to go ahead and go to that church with people he knew they were going to be there. It was premeditated. He already knew who was there. He knew the people that were going to be there. He'd been to that church several times, though. He already scoped it out, walked in there with the express intention of starting a race war. But nobody wants to say anything about that. They'll beat up Black Lives Matter all the live long day. But when you bring something up like Dylan Roof right there, though, they have nothing to say. Not a damn thing. And now here we are in the era of Trump, whose campaign trail actually ran on the idea of running immigrants out and running everybody out as well, though, and trying to take care of what's going on here, though, because he figures he wants to take care of everybody, though. He puts a few chokes on there, trying to make it seem like, yes, he cares, but yet still nobody's going to do anything about it.
Right.
And once again, here we are. We're pretty much I posed the question, the idea, though, did the call for justice go unheard, or did it turn a reason to misplace black Americans at the forefront of need for reform? 9 times out of 10, it's not going to change.
I don't really believe
it's actually going to change, though. Yeah. I don't think it's really going to change, though, because nobody's really going to want to do anything about it that truly, honestly makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from people that are trying to go for change, that are trying to actually do a reform, that are trying to actually work in conjunction with everybody else as well, though. But here's the problem, especially when it comes to law enforcement. Trump talked about the idea we had to cooperate with the police. You know what? Cooperation works two ways. And I don't give a damn who you are, how long you've been a police officer, how many people you know, how deep the blue line runs. You still have to be the same way civilians have to be held accountable for their actions, cops should be held accountable for theirs too. Because if you don't do that, though, you give these clowns a false sense of security. and making them think what. And I know that for a fact. People have actually told me, well, what do you know about law enforcement? I was in law enforcement for 6 years. And some of these individuals, especially based upon some of the things I said, though, you know, what they call badge heavy. You think you're above the law. Nobody is above the law. Nobody should be above the law. Nobody. We could take a lesson from that movie 300. Nobody is above the law. No peasants, no soldiers, no statesmen, not even the king is above the law. And that's what they need to do when it comes to law enforcement. Stop giving these individuals the green light to make it seem like they work for MI6, that they have a license to kill. No, you don't. Because I guarantee you, though, if you turn around and actually start taking some of these individuals who actually committed these shootings and put their asses on trial and start locking them up, I guarantee you that craziness when it comes to the idea of police officers is going to go way down. You have to. You have to have a system of check and balances when it comes to somebody walking around with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to do it. Nobody's actually saying, like, no, I'm not going to, I'll be the first one to say, I fully support law enforcement when it works.
Mm-hmm.
I do not support somebody walking around thinking that they're Superman because you put a badge on their chest and strapped a gun on their hip. You literally, and we said that when we were in the academy, though. We had a forum one time. Well, we talked about that. Well, we discussed exactly what we were doing though. And they asked my opinion. I said, look, it's like this. We have to realize as police officers what we're asking the state of Texas to do for us. We're asking them to give us a badge, give us the license to carry a firearm, and hope like hell we have the foresight to use them both wisely. Because if we don't, you're going to give a false sense of security to the wrong individual. You literally have the power of God strapped on your hip. And I'm sorry, we've had some victims of that.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that, yeah, there's certain things that should have never gone down. They should have never, ever happened. But they did. And nobody bothered to the idea to even attempt to try to de-escalate those situations in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And I'm sorry. I'll be the first one to tell you, yes, I have been in situations like that. Yes, I have actually been on traffic stops, stopping individuals that are on the street as well, though, suspect calls, that kind of thing as well, though, seeing like individuals actually walking around, though. And the first thing on my mind was to figure out who they were and what was going on, not to turn around and terminate them because they look suspicious. Hell, you could walk around in the wrong neighborhood, Crystal. You could look suspicious.
Right. But the problem with that, Michael, is this.
But here's the issue. You know, the now that Donald Trump is president, now that we're dealing with the politics of number 45, they have basically taken away the they're not giving you anything to talk about as far as police shootings and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? So now everything is political. The media plays into the hands of all of that to keep us at war with each other. And, you know, at war with the system. You know what I'm saying? So the media has a big role in what's happening with police shootings. And I'm not saying that police shootings never happen, but the media picks and chooses what they want to put out there. You see what I'm saying? They do it on purpose. So now that you have number 45, now they're picking on that. Because I haven't heard of any police shootings lately. Will they all of a sudden just stop?
Yeah,
I haven't
exactly.
seen that one
I doubt
police
it.
Shooting.
I
2016,
I doubt
it happened like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. In 2016, they were like all over the place. But then next thing you know, you want to turn around and turn it into something that is practically not. You want to turn it into this. You know, one instance is a monster. Now all of a sudden, it's practically non-existent. I doubt that.
Exactly.
I truly doubt it. I completely doubt that. If you say if you really honestly think that It's not happening. It's not prevalent. But there are police officers out there walking around, you know, thinking that, like, hey, we can do whatever we want to because we're police. I've had a guy tell me that one time, though. We can do whatever we want to. We police. No, you can't. That's a try robbing a bank and see how far you get. You know, and that's the mentality of some of these guys. I'm not necessarily saying that all cops are bad. I will never, ever say that. But by the same token, though, that's like saying all people are good. No, they're not. Cops are people, too. And guess what? You got some bad apples out there, though. But you can't afford to allow the bad apples to roam free and do whatever and expect the good cops to stay silent because they don't want to ruffle the feathers of things. That's crazy. You know, you're painting them in the corner as well. And they're supposed to simply not, you know, even think about it. They're not supposed to even try. They're not even supposed to even believe for one moment that they could possibly, you know, I'm like, you know, possibly do anything, you know, when it comes to that as well. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy, though. But you got people that believe that, you know, all we got to do, you know, we're cops. We can do whatever we want to. You're wrong. We're right. And that's it. No. Now, I will say within the last year or so, within the last two years, I have been pulled over twice. Yeah, once I got a ticket because I did something wrong. And the other time I just got a warning. Both cops were white. Both cops in two different cities in Texas. But neither one gave me any issues, problems. They were actually quite courteous. And they were cool with it as well, though. And I understood that I actually did something wrong, but I wasn't going to go actually raise hell in that crazy either, though. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm not, you know, hey, you need to go and give me that. And that was the cop that gave me the warning. He said, well, we understood about this. It was like a right lane turn only sign that they had just put up, and I didn't see it. I told him I honestly didn't see it because I kept straight. He pulled me over. I was like, okay, here we go. But he explained, he said, well, you know, we're, you know, I just want to give you the warning because not everybody sees the sign. They just put it up. So I was like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, though, yeah, I clearly turned right when I wasn't supposed to. Gave me the ticket for that. I understood that. I'm good. You know, I took my ticket like a man. I went ahead and handled that. But, you know, but neither one of those cops, neither one of those white cops treated me like I was a suspect, treated me like I was a thug. Tried to point a gun at me at the, you know, in the car. That, you know, they were very professional, courteous, and they handled themselves well. Period, though. But it wasn't like a pressure situation. It wasn't. And that's why I don't understand for the life of me, though, how these other ones came into play. Like, for example,
because of stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. Like Alton Sterling. Here's somebody that was at a corner store. Or at a store in his neighborhood that is known for being there. I would think if everybody in the neighborhood knows he's there, the cops know he's there. They know he's there. You know this man exists right here, though, so why you're doing this, I have no idea. But then, and like with Philando Castile, he had a license to carry.
Yeah, but come on now. Yeah, okay, but here's the deal. The cop has a gun pointed at you. You're going to reach in your pocket and say, officer, I'm carrying a weapon. The officer should not have even been an officer. I'm not making excuses for what happened to that young man, but at the same time, you have to think not just for yourself. It's like driving. You have to think, when you get on the road, you're not just driving for yourself, you're driving for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, you know you're carrying a gun. You could tell the officer was nervous because the girl had the camera on him. You could tell he was nervous. So, mm-hmm. You know, say, if he should have just kept his hands on the dashboard. Woulda, coulda,
yeah.
Shoulda. It didn't happen. You understand what I'm saying? He could have, but he shouldn't.
Yeah.
You have to think. People need to start thinking before they react, period. This is the world we're living in today. So if you're going to walk outside with your pants hanging down to your knees, I promise you, you're going to be stereotyped.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. So
and,
he don't want to
get
along with stereotypes, don't look like one.
Yeah, and then remember the young lady, the one that was shot in her home in front of her child?
Yeah, but she was off, though. Come on now.
Do what now?
Come on. She was kind of off.
Yeah, she has some issues as well, though. But, see, that's the thing. There are some that thrive on the idea of actually going to war with the police. The ones that actually want to go toe-to-toe with that element as well, though, like that. They go head-to-head with the cops. They want to go to war with what they consider the criminal element as well, though. You got two sides going like that, just arming for war and waiting for it. Because that's all they're locked into. That's all they know. Matter of fact, she was even feeding her kid that. She was actually feeding that information straight to her child.
It is very much so that the media plays into all of that, and then you have these conspiracy theory people out here, because it's not just happening to black people, it's happening to white people too, the militias. I mean, what happened over there in those guys, what was it, Utah, Idaho, one of those states, when they were protesting or standing their ground.
The protesting the land. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. White people, and they got shot. They killed the man. So it's just not happening with black people. It's happening with white folks, too. So what happens is that the media puts it out more when it happens to people of color than they do with the, white America or the white people. So you want to see it more because they want a negative racial issue. You see what I'm saying? So, because that keeps us divided once again. It keeps us all focused off of what's happening, and this is why you have number 45 in office. Make sense?
Yeah. I got you. So,
we're focusing on the wrong things instead of the right stuff. We're focusing on the wrong stuff.
Well, could be. I got a couple of calls on here. I'm going to see if anybody else wants to chime in on this deal as well, because we got a few of that I should have done about that. We got like 314 area code. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Just fine. How you doing, though? You listening in or you chiming in?
Well, I was going to chime in. And by the way, I'm a Trump supporter.
Okay.
African American. But let me say something about the police.
Okay.
The citizens of a community controls their employees. Now, I'm not talking about in New York, Chicago, where you got some highly political situations going on. And I'm here in Missouri, in St. Louis area, not too far from Ferguson. But if you as a citizen of a community let your police run buck wild, then who is the onus? You set the standards on what they do and what they don't do. If you don't want them to engage in high-speed chases, you say they don't. Because ultimately, that community is going to be liable. Now, there had been some proposals to make police officers carry their own liability insurance if you're going to work for a municipality. And if you have too many claims against your carrier, then, of course, it's going to work on you just like it would on an automobile. They're going to drop you. You won't be able to get insured. But a police commission, I've sat on a police commission, we laid the policy out. This is what you do and you don't do. If you don't like it, you go someplace else. Here in this area, you had black communities that dissolved their police department. It was all white, practically. Darren Wilson came from Jennings. Jennings dissolved their police department before he went to Ferguson, because he couldn't control it. And you as a citizen body has the right to do that. You know, Missouri is a constitutional carry state. You don't even need a license to carry, conceal. You can open carry if you got a license. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. I like Missouri, whereas Illinois, it's just the opposite. Chicago is just terrible. I wouldn't live in Chicago because I'm a gun advocate. But, no, I just want to make – and there should be a national registry when you have a police officer that violates the civil rights of a U.S. citizen. Their name go in that national registry. That way, a municipality about to hire somebody can check and see, you know, what are they doing, wherever they came from. In the case of Tamir Rice,
the department that came to. The officer,
you know,
he had some issues before. Yeah, he had some officers, some issues before they actually hired him right there, as well as good. And that's what I mean by the idea of accountability. Okay, it's not just on the general public to be accountable, though. The public servants themselves have to be accountable as well. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is, though. Like having been a police officer, having been in the military as well, like that, though, there was always this issue of accountability when it came to that. And we have to wind up actually holding ourselves accountable. Period, though, coming and going. That's only fair. In other words, you can't hold somebody else's feet to the fire without holding your own as well. I mean,
right?
And
that municipality is the ultimate one to make sure that things are right, because you're gonna have to pay for it. The cops ain't gonna have to pay for it. They get time off with pay and all that crazy stuff. No, you have to pay for that. So you make sure that who you're hiring don't come to your department, your city, your town with all these issues. If you do, just tell them they got to go someplace else.
There you go. There you go. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I'm going to continue to listen.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay. I'm going to move on to another one real quick, though. Yeah, peace out. Behave. Okay. Let me see. Was it 404? Because earlier it was 404 and it was just listening, though. But 407. I'm going to let it go 407, though. How you doing? Hello? Are we just listening in, or are we chiming in? I guess I'm just listening in. Okay, well, we'll go good about that, though. What about 407? I'm sorry, 404. I'm sorry, 404. That was 407. 404. I'm confused. I'm sorry. See, I need to stop drinking this knee-high whatever it is. Because it's messing my head up real quick, though. But Erico 404, are you just listening in or chiming in? I mean, that's funny the way. Okay, so they're listening in. Okay, but anyway, he made a real good point, though. There should be a registry for police officers when it comes to that, though. And believe it or not, there's some information on them, though. It just depends on what they're willing to release. Okay? But, like I said, accountability, though. It's not enough to just hold society accountable. It's not enough for that. And I'm not, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, trying to give, you know, individuals that commit crime, that cause problems, that disrupt neighborhoods and everything else as well, though, a pass. I will never do that, though. I'm sorry. And I know you're talking about the idea, like, you know, if your pants are sagging off your behind and all of this stuff, too, as well, though, you fall into those tropes and that stereotype, I'm sorry. You know, you need to stop that crap because you're drawing the wrong attention to yourself, period. It doesn't make any sense, though. As soon as they see that, the first thing they're going to be thinking is thug. The first,
right.
You know, you're setting yourself up for that as well, though. Why even do that as well, though? Some of these cats are actually doing that. They don't even really even know what that means.
Right.
It's not a fashion statement, though. It's a signal to people to let you know that, hey, you swing a certain way. And if you don't want that kind of attention to yourself, though, you need to do something about that. I mean, that is crazy. But you got people
but that's in the prison, so that's what that's about. So
exactly.
That's a
prison
mentality. But I mean, you know, it's just not black kids walking around with their pants sagging either. So that's, I don't want to put that stereotype out there, but it is a stereotype of only young black men walking sagging.
Exactly. You don't want to be locked into a stereotype, though, you're pushing a stereotype. You don't want to actually do that.
But if you want change, you got to be. The deal is, if you want change, you got to be part of the change. You can't want it and not act on it. That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, though. But you got, once again, you know, you don't want to be vilified. You don't want to be thought of this way. You don't want to be thought of that way as well, though. You want to keep it real or what have you, though. But guess what? Boom. You know. If you turn around and actually you keep, you know, perpetuating the myth, people are gonna believe it after a while.
Mm-hmm. Because like Donald Trump.
Yeah, who couldn't be more wrong when it comes to a lot of stuff as well. But I can't get in there right now. That'd be a whole nother show. We'd be here for 5 hours talking about that.
Trump supporter, if you're out there listening, we hope you call in. We talk about Trump again. It'd be nice to get your perspective being a black man in America.
I'm gonna do that. I'm actually gonna do that one day. I'm gonna actually call on to black Trump supporters, because I'm trying to understand. There's a few things I really want to understand though. But at the same time though, also understand this though. I'm going to back it up with some things like, and you can't turn around and just think that what you believe is fact and what I believe is fiction. That doesn't work. Okay, that's just like with the idea of Black Lives Matter. People think that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. It is not. Black Lives Matter was never intended to be a terrorist organization, though, but some people feel threatened about it because of the power that it actually generated in a relatively short amount of time. But think about it, though. If you feel strongly enough about something, when it really boils down to it as well, though, you can empower that in that way as well, though. And, yeah, they got some people's attention. Yeah, it actually makes some changes in some ways. But by the same token, though, there were some individuals that actually decided to go and pervert it, though. And that's what brings us to Micah Xavier Johnson here in Dallas, who had the audacity and the nerve to turn around and actually take his sick, twisted cravings on four people that had nothing to do with the shootings of Alvin Sterling and Fernando Castillo. Those police officers had nothing to do with it. And I know it's going to sound crazy.
But there were some white people that went up and shot up some police officers too.
Exactly.
Back
but
in
you
December.
Didn't get. But guess
you
what?
Didn't get
but
that
it
part.
Didn't,
That's
didn't,
my whole point.
Yeah, you didn't get that far when it came to when they did it.
No, the media did
it,
not
though,
portray
it
out, but the media did not put it out there the way they put out the shooting that happened in Dallas. That's not what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. The media plays a big role in keeping us racist divided on purpose. They do it on purpose. So we do not, so we could keep fighting amongst each other as a people. As a race, not just black, but keep this whole division amongst black and whites. That's the only thing that drives, them. And then hence you have, and this is why you have someone like number 45 in office. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying
sound
as well,
like
but
conspiracy
at the same
theory,
time, though,
but this is what happens. We focus on the wrong stuff, because when you start focusing on stuff like this, what happens is you don't pay attention to what's happening in the government, because we're focusing on the small things. I'm not saying that police shootings are small things, but what I'm saying to you is that you have to go in, stop focusing on that, and start focusing on the Congress, the Senate, and the government. When you start doing that and start making changes there, then you won't have these kind of shootings in the street by these police officers, because you have to make a change in all the government, not just go out there and vote for a president, but you have to vote down the line. You understand where I'm getting at? I mean, I don't know. It could be going on somebody's head.
No,
but
I got you. I totally got you. Yeah, I mean, I understand as well, though, but also with that as well, though, like, people were thinking that was, like, run by Black Lives Matter. It wasn't. But even with that as well, though, if it was a Black Lives Matter protest in Dallas that happened here in in our town, why is it? And they were so against the police and so against everything else. So why were the police actually they were peacefully protesting? Police were actually engaged with the crowds as well, though. Hell, they were out there taking pictures with them. Does that even remotely sound like somebody that actually kind of killed somebody? And then also with an incident as well, though, where they had, some Black Lives Matter. It's a video on YouTube where Black Lives Matter activists are engaging with, I guess you can call them, KKK members or white supremacists or what have you as well, though. What you would thought would have been a throwdown actually turned out to be more like a understanding session.
Well, I never saw that video, but okay.
I'm just saying. You know, I think it's going to be very real. But, you know, It could be real, though. I remember actually seeing another video where this young black couple were actually talking with some Americans to get them to, and instead of actually raising hell with each other, I think they were Trump supporters, too. The white guys, they were Trump supporters. But instead of raising hell and acting crazy and all that stuff, too, they were actually trying to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed past the politics to try to find a way to understand how the other side felt. And that's how you bridge those gaps. That's how you wind up actually making a difference between all-out slaughter and getting an idea of exactly what people are dealing with, though. Let's face facts, okay? There are some white people out there that will never understand what it's like to be black. The same way there are men that will never understand what it's like to be a woman. I mean, really, truly, honestly, be a woman and go with deal with a woman has to deal with, though. The same way there are white people out there that will never understand what black people have had to deal with because they've never experienced it, though. And a lot of white people, not saying all of them, though, but most of them, though, everything we had to deal with for 500 years of slavery, oppression, like suffering, this, that, and the other, though, is a dog whistle. It's outside of their hearing range. You're not going to get it because you never experienced it. And right. I think if I could have one wish from a genie's bottle, it would be to change that for 48 hours. And not in the idea of the experience, but so you could give you the experience, so just so you can know how we feel, because you're not going to get it until you actually felt it. I would I would appreciate a woman's labor pains if I felt them.
No, you wouldn't. But this is why.
Yeah. I'd understand. I guarantee you, I'd understand.
You understand it, right? But we were on the edge of America, white America, feeling that change. Okay. This is why they chose to go out and vote for number 45, because change is coming. I don't care if you voted for him. Change is coming anyway. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So, but it's the fear of we're losing our standing of who we are. We're losing our privilege. So this is why he was voted in. Makes sense? That's going to happen anyway. It's inevitable. There ain't nothing you can do about that. So, and it's happening sooner than later. But anyway, we're talking about police shootings. But I hope your Trump supporter calls back next time. I think the next show should be about
I'm going to invite you to the very next segment that we have, where we're actually going to talk to some Trump supporters, because I'm trying to understand. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to, you know, I said all I had to say as far as I can say. I'm just trying to understand now, though, because he's in office, he's there, I need to understand. But I'm going to go and kind of wrap this up a little bit real quick, though, and because it's like this. Has it changed? We have yet to see. And it's kind of, and Pussle made a real good point, though, that we have had this explosion of police shootings and run-ins with the law, and they were all over the airways and all over the place, and now it's barely a blip. We don't have anything even close to that. Nowhere close to that at all. It's totally non-existent. It's almost as if the whole situation maybe just fell off the face of the earth. Now, some real good points were made tonight about the idea of, like, where we stand, what we need to do. Well, not totally what we need to do, but what we have been doing, what has been done, what has happened. The criminality of it all, really, as well, though, because I'm sorry. And this is coming, like I said, this is coming from former law enforcement who had to deal with the worst of the worst on every given time, though. But to me, it was still about the idea of actually preserving life at all costs, if need be. And I'm not necessarily saying I just think that those situations could have been handled a different way. And even moving forward, they still need to be handled a different way, though, because now it's a very touchy deal right now. I don't believe in blindly following orders. I have to know whether what I'm doing is right. And not just professionally right, but I'm talking about morally right, too, because somewhere along the line, you're going to have to answer for that. And George Zimmerman is already answering for it, and then some. There are individuals that actually thought they could get away with the idea of actually just murdering somebody at a whim. Outside of that, though, the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, and there's at least two individuals I know for a fact that are paying the price for that as well, though, because they killed two young black men with practically no provocation, and they are now serving life sentences because of it. It has gotten better to a certain degree, but we need to do more. The caller we had in, though, the Trump supporter, made a real good point. A measure of accountability for the police departments. You put that in place, and I guarantee you won't have those issues anymore, though, because they have to be held accountable. Look at their status. Look at what you're actually giving them. That in the wrong hands is dangerous, and not just to us, period. Because even though we talk about police shootings and everything else as well, though, the shootings of young black men, though, a lot of people forgot about Dylan Noble. You know who he is?
Mm.
A 19-year-old white male that got shot in California last summer, and it was barely a blip on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the roof with Philando Castile, with Alton Sterling, with the rash of other shootings that actually happened as well, all that stuff. And I'm sorry, poor Dylan Noble barely made the cut. I don't think he really made the cut. There were maybe like one or two articles about him, though. I don't even think he made the airwaves. I know he hit the internet, and with the exception of his family, nobody said shit. And this was a white kid who got pulled over.
And he's not the only one, though.
No, he's not the only one. He got shot nearly at point blank range, and it was actually shown from a video cam off of a police officer. Come on, folks. And we have to do something to where we don't have any more Trayvon Martin. We don't have any more Philando Castile. We don't have any more Tamir Rice. We don't have any more Walter Scott. We don't have any more Alton Sterling. So it's still boiling down to the idea that we're still going to have to wind up finding a way to hold them accountable, regardless of what they're actually saying as far as supporting law enforcement is concerned, though. But, you know, you want the cooperation? Okay, fine, you got it. But understand this, cooperation works two ways. And you cannot sit back here and tell me that the criminality is so bad that the only answer you have as a police officer, the only answer you have as far as law enforcement is at the end of a gun. It's a lie. And if you actually, and I want any cop that either listen to this show or even hear mention of it as well, though, if that's the way you're doing business and that's the only thing that actually makes you feel comfortable, the way you feel like you have to do that, though, do yourself a favor and turn your badge in now. Because you're going to be a liability before it's over with. Maybe not one they want to act on and do anything about, though, but a liability nonetheless. Because it's only going to get worse. It is only going to get worse, though, and you're going to wind up actually killing somebody innocent, and then what? Because the only thing you're going to see is a threat. Every time you put on your uniform, you get in your car. I understand how hard the job is. I understand how difficult it is as well, though. I honestly do. But you cannot tell me somewhere along the line in the midst of all that, though, you don't have the capacity to think. I served for 6 years, though, and trust me, I saw more problems with my brain and a little, you know, with my brain than I did with my gun. Seriously. So more problems with my brain and my mouth than I did with my badge and my gun. The idea is you're supposed to de-escalate the situation, not escalate it. And I'm sorry, those instances, Trayvon Martin, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Walter Scott, they were escalated. There was nothing about that that was de-escalated in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And I'm sorry, a bullet is not the idea of de-escalation. That's termination. There's a difference. So now, well, that was fun. Next week, I guess we're going to bring on the Trump supporters, though, because Crystal wants to be real bad. Well, we ever had any other Trump supporters on the show? I don't think we have. No, not any African American supporters. No, not any African American. So there's going to be a call out to the Trump supporters next week. I'm gonna do that personally. Matter of fact, I'm gonna set that show up because I'm actually curious. I want to see for myself though. And sir, you are invited next week to the show because, like I say, I got some questions, and I just want to see what's going on.
So do I.
And like I said, it's not gonna be. I'm trying not to make this a bad session though. I just want to understand because now he's in office. He's there now. I want to see what's going on. I want to see what you know how this in any way, shape, form, or fashion works. If it works at all though, because, and I'm not saying I'm really trying to just focus on the negative, but let's face it, it has been kind of crazy. Okay.
And I don't want to talk about why he was the lesser of two evils. I don't want to talk about why, because Hillary is this, that, and the other. I need to know why you voted for that man to be in office. What made him speak to you where you said, "Oh my God, I have to vote for him. He speaks my language." Hillary has nothing to do with it.
I'm gonna hold my tongue and my questions and my comments for next week because I can start at leisure right now. But like I said, that'd be a whole nother hour, I really don't want to deal with that as well. But that's gonna be like next week's topic. Though I'm going to invite some Trump supporters to the show. So we can go and hash this out a little bit as well, because I think that should be pretty good though. But I want to, yeah. I mean, it's been crazy though. But next week, matter of fact, this week as well though, Friday I will be celebrating my 53rd birthday. I have no idea what I'm going to do, so don't ask. But I will not. I can promise you three things: I won't be in the news, I won't be in jail, and I won't be at home. so that's at least three things I can't promise you, though. I won't be on the news. That's too much. I'm definitely not going to jail. I'm not built for that. But I'm not going to be home. So if you want to send best wishes and all this stuff, you can do so on our Facebook page for the Mike Henderson Show, as well as the Artworks Entertainment Facebook page. And you also look at us on Twitter at the Mike Henderson Show, I guess you can say on Twitter, that's like that. I don't really tweet like that. I don't really tweet like that, though, so I kind of tweet. But anyway, and we had a slew of listeners in there. People actually call in and listen in. I do appreciate listening to the show. We're getting ready to wrap things up a little bit in about a minute or so. And we're actually doing some big things as well, though. And we got I got a few announcements that I'm going to actually come up with next week as well, because we're finalizing a few things as well, though. Some new things, some big things are coming up in Dallas. And one of my co-hosts is a part of that. She's getting big time, y'all. She's leaving the small potatoes of what I might end the show, and she's doing her thing. So she's outgrown us a little bit. No, she's not going anywhere anytime soon. Cause I ain't let her go. I ain't let her out.
Okay. I'm the one without the controversy. I'm the one with all the controversy.
Exactly. So good. I ain't letting y'all be contract, so I ain't worried about it. But anyway, we're getting ready to wrap it up right here. it's gonna get spent. But I also we are gonna have some new interviews that are coming up there with some new guest hosts and some more guestwork that's gonna have on the show. And it's gonna be the rest of the year is gonna be a mega though. But we've got 60 seconds though, so I wanna thank everybody for actually listening in. I wanna wish everybody a great rest of the week, great weekend. Yeah, happy birthday. We'll be back here next Tuesday for the Mike Henderson Show on Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a good, great night and great weekend. And as my man Deadpool says, cue the music.